Ask the Lord to be pleased to help me. I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the book of Isaiah, chapter 62, and the 10th verse. Go through the gate. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast off the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Chapter 62, 10th verse, the book of Isaiah. I have mingled feelings in announcing this subject to you, but I go back to a June Sabbath morning in 1914, when I sat in a pew and greatly concerned about preaching the gospel, and my prayer had been up unto God that if I was indeed to labor in word and doctrine upon Zion's walls, the godly man in the pulpit might be led to take this subject, and God constrained him to do so. And when I began my pastorate in Union Chapel, in the first year of it, I tried to preach from it then, and from that day to this, I have not attempted to do so, but this Sabbath afternoon, I am constrained to do so. And you will understand it is to do with how God ordains men to preach his gospel. You may say, if it is to do with preaching, then some of us will get nothing. I hope you will get something. You might not get comfort, but you could get instruction, and that is very desirable, because it should be known and understood how God does ordain men to preach his glorious gospel. And one thing should humble you and the preacher too, and this, and that is that ever God should have so ordained it to be that men of like passion, poor sinners with never dying souls, should yet be constrained to preach to poor sinners with never dying souls, and through their preaching, God owning it and blessing it, they should be fitted for the skies and become sinners saved by grace. This is a great mystery, and it needs to be pondered, and it is a great mercy. And now, this word, Isaiah was inspired of God to pen, and throughout the chapter, it is wonderfully instructive to those who have eyes to read aright and heart to perceive the mind of the Spirit in it. And the heading of the page is, this is very exciting, the office of ministry. And then alongside it, Christ's power to save. Now I want to look at the subject, as grace is given, from very viewpoint of it, although I shall not be able to give you more than hints, because the subject is very, very great. But you find the opening words in the chapter will give you some inkling as to how men do to you who are exercised before God regarding preaching his gospel and taken his authority and his divine aid and permission to do it. This is how they feel. To Zion's face will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. There is lodged in the heart of men a great concern for the cause of God in the earth, and the Church of Christ, as they know it. And when they see that church, maybe it's brought low by schisms rent asunder and heresies distressed, and godly men decaying and faithful pastors cease, it works in their heart a concern regarding the cause of God, and they desire to make a stand on its behalf. Hence, Isaiah says, for Zion's sake, the Church of God in the earth. And then, lower down in the chapter, God declares, and do listen, and watch the wording. I have set, I, the Church's living head, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent, and give him no rest, till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. So that when a man has got something from God, that he is to be a watchman, and God says to him, as he did to Ezekiel, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman. That is how we feel. And the margin is helpful. Ye that are the Lord's remembrancers, keep not silent. Whatever you see, in accordance with the work God has given you to do, your commission to preach, seek his divine aid, and open thy mouth wide, and let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. And then comes this beautiful commission to preach, which I have read to you as a text, and I would look at that as grace is given. Go through the gate. And now, you must not think, you dare not think it, to be vain repetition. In the Word of God, there is repetition, but it is not vain repetition. You think of a man ordained of God to preach. When he begins his work, as he goes on in that work, year in, year out, he is bound to reiterate much that he has said before, because he has to proclaim what is sound doctrine and set forth a gracious experience and contend for a godly practice. And year in, year out, that is always the same. We have got our articles of faith, and they embrace the doctrines of grace as we read of them in the sacred pages, but they remain the same all the year round. What is so needed in going through the gate, that while there must be repetition, it should still be fresh and wet as it were, with the dew of heaven. And that the preaching of the gospel should be like you read in this book of Isaiah, where it speaks about clean provender winnowed with a shovel and a fan. And now, let us look at this going through the gate. I have told you recently in some sermons about gates, but these are very different gates, although they are the same. It is one thing to go through the gate and be sure before God you were born again. It is another matter. It is a completely different matter to go through the gate again and preach to poor sinners and show them what it is to be born again and set forth the evidences of it as they have known and felt it to be in their own soul's experience. Mark that wording. These gates that all men ordained of God to preach go through are the gates of experimental knowledge. And you will find in the Word of God how it is set forth. I believe, and therefore have I spoken. That which we have seen, tasted, handled, and felt of the good word of life, declare we unto you out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, so that every man ordained of God to speak as he goes on, and his experience of the things of God deepens and widens, then he can open up the things of God yet more to purpose and profit to the people. But you must not expect that depth when men are ordained of God to preach and sent out in early life. You must not look for one ordained of God to preach when he is young to be the same as one who has weathered many, many storms and is in life even in time. Do remember that. And you will discern that when men are ordained to preach, and it is ever so good, I say that with great reverence, ever so good that we have got young men being ordained of God to preach, but you must observe that often in their early ministry, much of their ministry will be to do with doctrine as they unfold it and open it up. So they have got to live on and go through the gate and go through much tribulation. Then they will lead you on, not only in doctrine, sound doctrine, but they will unfold the things of God from the viewpoint of what it is to have a gracious experience and out of the abundance of the heart for the mouth to speak. Every man ordained of God to preach has already gone through the gate, which is called the straight gate. It must be a sinner born again who alone can preach the gospel to purpose, that other sinners born again might get good and more sinners yet be born again. And I might say that in going through these gates, which is equivalent to going up into the pulpit, you must go up in faith. I have said many times there are only three steps into any pulpit, although I have gone up into pulpits with 8 to 10, but strictly speaking there are only three. Lord, help me. And every man ordained to preach, whatever his age, however long he has preached, he still takes those 3 steps up into any pulpit. He is pounding to preach the gospel of the grace of God, because he knows without the help of God, how can he preach that people will get any good for their souls and God get the glory? It is not enough to preach sermons. well framed out and instructive and interesting to listen to. It is this: I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, says the Apostle Paul, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one which believeth. Yes. So then, in going through the gate, it must be that he who is ordained of God to preach is already a sinner born again. He is exercised unto godliness before God, concerning, laboring in word and in doctrine, to be of use in the church of Christ and do whatever work God ordains to the glory of him who is the church's living head. And you find this, I said these days, set forth experimental knowledge. And you find the Apostle Paul will help us there, for he says in one epistle of his, and that is in the second epistle to the Corinthians, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He is speaking of being an apostle and concerning Timothy, that a man ordained of God to preach, a young man too, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So you must not expect men ordained of God to be, especially pastors, to be always laboring with a fullness of good health. But if it should be otherwise, and they do possess good health, they will have tribulation to go through, and the people will get the benefit of it, as God is pleased to sanctify it and unfold the word of God yet more. Go through the gate. And these gates set forth varied trials. Some go through the gates of affliction, and they can come forth and testify, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Others may go through the gates of adverse circumstances, may be brought to their wit's end, and sometimes feel absolutely unfit for the work which they have hoped God has given them a call to be engaged in. And then they have to go and preach in that frame of mind. And then it is the people get some good too, because it is made plain as they go through the gate in that frame of mind, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth is speaking, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. And sometimes they go through other gates, varied trials, losses and crosses and disappointments, and they do go through and are often in heaviness through manifold temptations. And sometimes the essence of their manifold temptations is that they're not what they hope they really desire to be, a man ordained of God to be. Especially if they should go on, week in, week out, doing as they hope before God what they can to comfort the people of God and yet nothing is heard that they get any comfort. I'm not making any reflections on you, dear people, because God has granted us confirmation and signs following our labours under Union Chapel Roof. But we should like to hear some more evidence of it, that the word of God is confirmed by signs following. And so, this is the initial sign. Go through the gate. And remember, there is no preacher ordained of God can tell you how very great the responsibility is to be a preacher, and especially a pastor. You must be one to know what it really feels like. You may get some consciousness of it, but it is a very great and grave responsibility. What contradictions meet in a minister's employ, it is a bitter sweet, a sorrow, and a joy. No other post affords a place for equal honour or disgrace. You can undo a 50-year profession inside 5 minutes if what Luther talks about when temptation, opportunity, and inclination all meet together at the same place at the same time. And unless God is with you to deliver you, down you may go. And you will be remembered by that blemish when you have gone the way of all the earth, and not by a long ministry which preceded it, where you were helped to live before God and man a consistent life. Therefore, you may well understand Paul saying, "Brethren, pray for us." And now, there is another thought about this great work I'm trying to give you a few details of. Go through the gate. Now, there is a word which will look at you, at least it has looked at me, especially lately. And it will look at you, any man ordained of God, to preach. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The dear Saviour said that, as verily man. And every man ordained of God to preach, especially a pastor, in his own life, evening time, he knows what that word means in his soul too. And there is this viewpoint of it. We cannot but see the things which we have seen and heard. And now there is another aspect of this subject. Not only go through the gate. The meaning is, you have got as grace is given in your ministry as God grants you ability to do it, to open these gates, that the people may go through. Not be just like a signpost that points the way to this destination and that, but there it is. As long as time to be, no movement is made in the way it points to. No. And now, Isaiah, earlier in his prophecy, has a word like this. And this is very striking, and I will turn aside a moment to make a comment on it. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gate, that the righteous nation which teacheth the truth may enter in. And now, do you realize Isaiah is referring to when Israel of old, through that miracle that God wrought on their behalf, were delivered in their Babylonish captivity And at length they return to the land of promise. But it was desolate. Jerusalem was in ruins. The walls were broken down, burned with fire. The gates were destroyed. And so it was throughout Judea. And yet, Isaiah was commissioned to tell these godly Jews returning, whose spirit the Lord had raised to do it, in that day when all you can look round upon is ruin, in that day should this song be sung in the land of Judah. We see Jerusalem no more as we saw it in bygone years. Nevertheless, we have a strong city, and that city is the city of God. Open ye the gate, that the righteous nation which speaketh the truth may enter in. When you get home, look up Nehemiah and see what they did when they arrived. One of the first things they did was to re-establish the worship of God, set up an altar, and as well as they could in their conditions as they were, they began to worship God again in the land of promise and worship Him aright. Their spirit was stirred up by God to do it. And there were those among them, like Ezra, who could read out of the book of the law as he did from a pulpit. And in that viewpoint, they were opening the gate that they might know wherein is the good and right way in which they should be going, whilst they began to labour to rebuild Jerusalem and see Judea populated again as in bygone days. And now that needs a great deal of faith to live like that. To see the city wherein they had dwelt reduced to ruin, and yet to say before God, we have a city, a strong city, yes. And says, not Isaiah this time, but godly David in one of his psalms, and that will help us to contemplate it again for a moment, where he declares, walk about Zion, go round about her, tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. The psalmist is not referring to bricks and mortar and stones and architecture. He is referring to the city of God. And he sums it all up, that this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. Go through the gate. And now the next thing a man ordained of God to preach has got to do is this. Prepare ye the way of the people. And you will remember that you read how when they return from Babylonian captivity, how often do we have to refer to that to illustrate the truth? And it says here, every valley should be exalted, every mountain and hill should be made low, and the crooked should be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord should be revealed, and all flesh should see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And you will remember that Cyrus made it possible for all that did return from Babylonian captivity to have the way made plain for them to do it, and the means whereby they could do it, so that the difficulties were overcome, and the valleys were raised in that viewpoint, and the mountains leveled. And now, in preparing the way of the people that is to describe, our sinner is saved by grace. And that is set forth by the Apostle Paul, where he said to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. This is very difficult, dear friends. Out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, and that time has come. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they should turn away their ears from the truth, and to be turned unto idols. Oh, but this man in our flesh, whom God has sent forth to preach the gospel of the Lord, he will be telling the people, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. And he will show them the way. Prepare ye the way of the people, which means he will set forth doctrine, as it is revealed in the Word of God. How utterly impossible it is for any sinner to get through the gates of pearl by the doings of the great eye, and that the flesh profiteth nothing. And he will also make plain what Isaiah declares, from the sole of the foot even to the head. There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Yes, and he will declare this, and thus prepare the way, and show how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity, are all engaged in the great and important work of the salvation of a poor sinner. And he will show them salvation is of the Lord in every jot and tittle of it, nothing whatever to do with man regarding it. But by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he will declare what the hymn writer said, there's not a man that's born of God but readily will say, if ever my poor soul is saved, this Christ must be the way. Prepare ye the way of the people. And he will set forth what the law saith to the sinner born under it, and that by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh living be justified. And he will declare what Calvary's cross means. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone which believeth. Prepare ye the way of the people. Show them how God deals with poor sinners. And it goes on from another viewpoint. Prepare ye the way of the people. That is much to do with the doctrine of grace. And then cast up the highway. And now there you must pause, and you might as well pray too, because you will find in this book of Isaiah what I have thought sometimes to be a very solemn and certain word. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, those fools, shall not err therein. You see, dear friends, it just means this, as I view it, in the time I have allotted to me to set it forth. Cast up the highway. And now, you are in the way of the people where you are, being chapel goers. And you come week in, week out, and very glad one is to see you come and keep coming, and the Lord help you to keep coming. But you must get not only in the way, you must be found in the highway that is to be cast up, and that is just this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, and I have told you not once or twice, and this will show you that what I tell you is indeed the truth, as it should be. Cast up the highway. And now, it is what you get in your chapel going. What goes on between you and God, as you do business in heaven's marketplace and gain by trading there. When you get help by the way, tokens for good, and that which encourages you to hope in God, when you get a glimpse of Jesus Christ, when you feel you have had a crumb of mercy, when you get light on the dealings of God with you, that is evidence the highway is being cast up for you, and you're in it. You're going along it. You are not just a chapel goer. No, you are going to heaven. Whereas many chapel goers go to hell. Remember that? Cast up the highway. Oh, it is good when men ordain to God and get help from God to do it. The hymn writer said this, "Then will I tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found. I'll point to his redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. This is the way, walk ye in it. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway." And it is Jesus Christ. Yes. And what a wonderful mercy there is, a way to God. A way which has got heaven at the end of it. And if you and I have got any well-grounded evidence that we are journeying along it. But remember, if you're in this blessed highway, how you will have to go along it. Jesus is the way of strength. Yet the strong, this way, can't come. And the Lord will prove at length, weaklings have the victory won. And so often it is, the lame takes the prey. In other words, no big words of ready talkers, no dry doctrine will suffice. Broken hearts and humble walkers, these are dear in Jesus' eyes, and they are found in the highway, they're followers of him, they're in. But I must hasten on. And now Isaiah goes on in this commission to preach. Gather out the storm. And now, you can think that as they journeyed from Babylon, back again to the land of promise, and you might look at the map and see what a long, long trek it was for them to do it. But there might be sometimes obstructions in the way and stones that had to be removed. But when a man is ordained of God to preach, that is one thing he has to do to evidence his commission, because there are storms, as it were. In other words, stumbling blocks. There are things that you have in the back of your mind that harass you, even while you sit in a pew. And while you hear the preacher preaching the gospel, the devil may be suggesting this and that, and you may be full of questioning. But it may be at that time the preacher will take up some of those questionings and give you the very answers that will give you quietness of mind. And that is what it means, from that viewpoint, to gather out the storm. It might be, you might be the subject of some temptation, And you might have a feeling that no one else thought of God could ever be tempted like you are at the time. And then that very temptation might be described from the pulpit as being known and felt by those who are going through the gate and in the way which has got heaven at the end of it. And that would bring sweet relief to your mind. Then there are the stones of doubt. Oh, you might fall into question your religion because you're beginning to it. As far as you can tell, if there is a beginning, it's not very clear-cut or definite. And the devil may gain some advantage over you regarding it. But then, when the preacher sets forth what the Word of God declares, a bruised reed he shall not break, smoking flax he shall not quench, and the desire of the righteous shall be granted, it may come to you as comfort, and be no more to you a stumbling block, and you will be helped to feel you are indeed following on to know the Lord, and in His time and way, you will have a deeper experience of Him as the sinner's friend. Then it might be you have got a stone in your soul's experience wherein you may think you have sinned the unpardonable sin. Well, there are many people in this highway who have found a stone like that in it, in their soul's feelings, and God has helped the preacher of the gospel to remove it so that they have been lifted out of that temptation, a way of escape has been made. But now, what is the unpardonable sin? Declare to be the sin against the Holy Ghost. You can only do it, commit it, I mean, if you have got in your heart, do listen, light and fight against Jesus Christ. You must have those two to commit the unpardonable sin. Peter had got light. Blessed be God, he had not got sight. He did say, "We believe and assure thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, to whom can we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life." And when the dear Saviour rose from the dead and had an interview with Peter, and afterwards we can tell what the outcome of it was. "Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. I know that I did sin against light and knowledge, but thou didst cast thy compassionate eye upon me and help me to go out and weep bitterly. And by thy grace I have repented." He had got light, but he had not sight. And now Judas had got light to some degree, but he had got sight. So he could go and betray his dear master, who had ever treated him with all the kindness possible. And he, having light and sight, he did sin the unpardonable sin. The sin against the Holy Ghost. And there is just one thing I say, although I must come to the amen, there is just one thing I say in passing a comment. There are hundreds of men in pulpits in this land of ours, from Land's End to John the Great, who have no divine authority to be there, who are perilously near, if they have not already gone right over the line in sinning against the Holy Ghost, when they tell men this in this Holy Bible is not to be received, and that is only a fable dressed up, and this is just a myth, and they cut it to pieces. I judge that to be the sin against the Holy Ghost. For this Bible tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And you read, God spake all these world. It is just another thought. Gather out the phone. And now, when poor sinners go through the gates and are born again and begin as pilgrims to Canaan bound, they often have to travel slowly, not go on too fast. And sometimes they turn aside into a bypass and they imbibe some error, something that is not to the glory of God or the sinner's good. And now it is for every man ordained of God to preach the truth, and to show in preaching the truth what is error and how it may be defined. And now, error, whatever its nature, however prettily it may be dressed up in a book, as you read about it, it will always detract from Jesus Christ, so that he is not in your soul's feelings then as you imbibe it, the chiefest among 10,000 and the altogether lovely. And now, all who are ordained to preach the gospel desire as grace is given to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. And then, this will beautifully sum it up. What is this to preach the gospel? Lift up a standard for the people. You read again about Moses of old when he set up the brazen serpent and bid those who were bitten by the serpent to look. And it is said so beautifully as only the word of God can ever say it. And if any man looks, he lives. And now, that is just what the gospel is in the proclamation of it. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Salvation is found in him and him alone. Lift up a standard. The standard of the cross. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And how did the Apostle Paul do it? What does he say? And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ, and in crucified, and I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. You will understand this fear was not the fear of man. The Apostle Paul had not the fear of man in his makeup. No, it was a fear as to whether God would indeed be with him and grant the power by which alone he could preach to God's glory and for sinners good. And some of us know just a little, and maybe more than a little, of what that fear is. And we also do a little about the much trembling. And says Paul, and my preaching was not with enticing, persuasible words, Margie, words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Dear friends, it is this preaching alone, as grace is given for men ordained of God to go forth everywhere to preach it, which would do poor sinners good, and fulfill the purposes of God as the Spirit adds unto the church daily, thus it shall be saved. For everyone ordained of God will be light upon as he gets help from God to do it. Lift up a standard for the people. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And And I would just conclude by reminding you of what Berridge said. Careless myself, a dying man, a dying man deceived. Happy, O Lord, if thou approve, though all beside condemn. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labourers into his harvest. Amen.